वेलकम फ्रेंड्स टू लिटरेचर मंत्र. आई एम हर्ष सिंह एंड इन दिस ऑडियो विल डिस्कस द राइटर जॉन डन. ठीक है, जॉन डन. द डेट्स ऑफ जॉन डन आर फ्रॉम 1572 टू 1631. नाउ जॉन डन वॉज वन ऑफ द मेजर मेटाफिजिकल पोएट्स. सो इमीडिएटली फ्रॉम एन एग्जाम पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू यू कैन गेट अ क्वेश्चन ऑन हु वर द अदर मेटाफिजिकल पोएट्स. फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल कीप इन माइंड दैट जॉन डन वॉज द ग्रेटेस्ट ऑफ द मेटाफिजिकल पोएट्स. द अदर मेटाफिजिकल पोएट्स वर एंड्रू मार्वेल, जॉर्ज हर्बर्ट, रिचर्ड क्रैशो, अब्राहम काउले, हेनरी वॉगहैन. ऑल ऑफ दीज आर मेटाफिजिकल पोएट्स एंड मेटाफिजिकल पोएट्स आर फेमस फॉर द मेटाफिजिकल कंसीट. इन पर्टिकुलर द पोएम्स ऑफ जॉन डन इज नोन फॉर द यूज ऑफ मेटाफिजिकल कंसीट एंड ऑल्सो द मेटाफिजिकल विट. ठीक है, WIT विट. नाउ एट द आउटसेट यू शुड नो वॉट इज द मीनिंग ऑफ मेटाफिजिकल कंसीट और कंसीट इन जनरल. कंसीट क्या होता है? सी, इट इज जस्ट जक्स्टापोजिंग or trying to compare two very dissimilar things. And if you have read the poems of John Donne, you already know that the comparisons that John Donne makes are very, very strange, different, drawn from different spheres of knowledge. And yet, after reading it, it seems that it actually makes sense. So that is the beauty of the poems of John Donne. Okay? And the works of John Donne are known for the intellectual depth that they have, the emotional intensity that it has, and also for the use of elaborate metaphors, which of course are called metaphysical conceits. Okay? Now keep in mind that Donne's poetry evolved over his lifetime. So beginning with secular love, it transitioned to deeply religious poems and then also contemplative works. So if you read the early poetry that he has written, he tries to explore themes of love, sexuality, human relationships, and those poems that were written later on in his life, in those poems, he focuses more on religious themes. Okay? And also remember that along with being a poet, later on in his life, John Donne himself became a priest. Okay? Now, from an exam point of view, you should be aware of the important poems written by John Donne. Sometimes they just give you direct lines from these poems. Okay? Now, of course, in terms of the number of poems, he has written many, but there are some very famous ones that you should be aware of. My suggestion would be try to read those poems. They are small poems and try to understand what is the meaning of it. Okay? For example, his famous poem called The Flea. Okay? F-L-E-A. The Flea. So in this poem, basically, he uses the example of a flea bite or let's say a mosquito bite as a metaphor to explore themes of love and physical intimacy. And in most of his poems, you'll find that either it will be in a form of a dramatic monologue, okay, almost a kind of dramatic monologue in which the listener is silent, yet from the words of the poems, we can infer that there is a speaker who is speaking to a silent listener, and often it is the lady love. So the male lover is speaking and the lady lover is also there. Okay, so poems like The Flea, then The Sun Rising, this is also a very important poem. And in this poem, John Donne challenges the sun's authority. Okay? Jo suraj hai, he challenges the sun's authority and emphasizes the importance of love over worldly concerns. After that, his famous poem called A Valediction Forbidding Morning. Okay? A Valediction Forbidding Morning. Now, this poem explores the nature of enduring love and separation. Okay? So, using the metaphor of a compass. Now, often compass is a instrument that school children use, okay, in their mathematics lessons. Then students of geography and physics also use, okay, so that compass. And here in this poem, A Valediction Forbidding Morning, the metaphor of a compass is used to illustrate the connection between two lovers, okay. And then we have that famous poem called Death Be Not Proud, okay, Death Be Not Proud, a title, okay. And in this poem, what he does is he personifies death. Okay, he speaks to death as if death is a human being, okay, who has come to take away his soul or, let's say, his life. He personifies death and argues against its perceived power and finality. So, just trying to suggest that it is ultimately death which will be defeated, because after all, after death, there is afterlife. Okay? He says famously that after one short sleep, we wake eternally. Okay? So somehow the speaker is trying to conquer death itself. So it is such an amazing poem. Okay? Death Be Not Proud. And then we have his Holy Sonnets. Okay? Holy Sonnets. And this is basically a series of sonnets that, you know, delves into themes of mortality, divine judgment, and also the soul's relationship with God. Okay? So at least go through these poems, The Flea, The Sun Rising, A Valediction Forbidding Morning, Death Be Not Proud, and also some of his holy sonnets. Okay? Now, also remember that in the 20th century, T.S. Eliot wrote a very famous essay called The Metaphysical Poets. Okay, The Metaphysical Poets, which was published in 1921, in which he praises the metaphysical poets. Okay? So, they can ask you in the exam, in which essay does T.S. Eliot praise the metaphysical poets? It is The Metaphysical Poets. Ye naam hi hai, theek hai? Essay ka naam hai. And famously, T.S. Eliot says that, unlike later day poets, which came after the metaphysical poets, the metaphysical poets, through their poems, reflect a fusion of thought and feeling. So after reading the poems of the metaphysical poets, you'll realize that there's a fusion of thought and feeling, whereas later day poets had a dissociation of sensibility. So in some ways, trying to suggest that the metaphysical poets avoided any kind of dissociation of sensibility. That is why they are great. Okay, so aap se ye pooch sakte hain that what is the meaning of dissociation of sensibility? Okay, in which essay does T.S. Eliot mention this phrase? Okay, so in sub facts pe question direct pehle bhi aa chuke hain, aage bhi aa sakte hain. Afterwards, another question that you can get is, who is the one who first used the term metaphysical for the first time? Let me tell you that it was not the metaphysical poets, it was somebody after them, who came afterwards. And it is the Scottish poet William Drummond. Okay, ye naam hai. He is the one who used this term metaphysical to describe the poetry of the metaphysical poets. Okay, William Drummond. D-R-U-M-M-O-N-D. Okay, William Drummond. Afterwards, let me also point out that later on when John Dryden comes, right? John Dryden also criticizes the metaphysical poets. He says that John Donne, along with the other metaphysical poets, perplexed the minds of the fair sex with nice speculations of philosophy when they should have engaged their hearts with the softness of love. Okay, this is a very famous line which John Dryden said while criticizing the metaphysical poets. So in terms of critics are on both sides. There are those people who criticize the work of the metaphysical poets, and there are also writers and scholars like T.S. Eliot who praise the work of the metaphysical poets. Okay? Both have given their own reasons, so you should be aware of these, because the names of John Dryden, T.S. Eliot, or even William Drummond are important. Okay? If they say something about any literary work or any writer, it automatically becomes important. Okay? Now, let me quote a very famous critic who talks about the works of John Donne and the metaphysical poets in general. Okay? In particular, he's talking about the writings of John Donne. Okay? Quote, John Donne's work is distinguished by its emotional and sonic intensity and its capacity to plumb the paradoxes of faith, human and divine love, and the possibility of salvation. Donne often employs conceits or extended metaphors to yoke together heterogeneous ideas, in the words of Samuel Johnson, thus generating the powerful ambiguity for which his work is famous. After a resurgence in his popularity in the early 20th century, Donne's standing as a great English poet, one of the greatest writers of English prose, is now assured. The history of Donne's reputation is the most remarkable of any major writer in English. No other body of great poetry has fallen so far from favor for so long. In Donne's own day, his poetry was highly prized among the small circle of his admirers, who read it as it was circulated in manuscripts. And in his later years, he gained wide fame as a preacher. For some 30 years after his death, successive editions of his verse stamped his powerful influence upon English poets. During the Restoration, his writing went out of fashion. Okay? His writing went out of fashion and remained so for several centuries. Throughout the 18th century and for much of the 19th century, he was little read and scarcely even appreciated. It was not until the end of the 1800s that Donne's poetry was eagerly taken up by a growing band of avant-garde readers and writers. His prose remained largely unnoticed until 1919. In the first two decades of the 20th century, Donne's poetry was decisively rehabilitated. Okay? It was decisively rehabilitated. Its extraordinary appeal to modern readers throws light on the modernist movement as well as on our intuitive response to our own times. Donne is not a poet for all tastes and times. Yet, for many readers, Donne remains what famously Ben Jonson said about him, quote, the first poet in the world in some things, unquote, and unquote again. Okay, so this is how this critic describes the stature of John Donne, how in his lifetime he was praised a lot But in the Restoration era and also several centuries after that, the repute of John Donne and the metaphysical poets fell very low, okay, to very low levels, and it was only rehabilitated in the modern era by people like T.S. Eliot and W.B. Yeats. Okay? And he also quotes Ben Jonson, who said that John Donne was the first poet in the world in some things. Okay? He was not the first poet, but first poet in some things, in doing some things. Okay? So, ye matlab hai. So, from an exam point of view, just remember that John Donne is famous for metaphysical poetry. You should be aware of what is a metaphysical conceit. Note down some examples from his poems. You should also be aware of the broad storyline of his important poems, especially the poems that I told you. Okay? Because there are direct questions from those poems. Not once, but many times. After that, you should also be aware of the various criticisms or critical opinions about metaphysical poets. So whether it be the critical opinion of T.S. Eliot or John Dryden or William Drummond, these are important writers. At least important for understanding metaphysical poetry. Okay?